cloud computing and virtualization. And he works closely with Trend customers, partners, and industry reps in incorporating their specific requirements into the Trend Micro offerings. Before joining Trend Micro, Blake was responsible for products and services for HI Trust, a healthcare industry alliance focused on aiding the secure exchange of health information. Please welcome Blake Sutherland to Cloud Computing East.
Thanks, Marty. So I see three challenges here for me today. One, I'm the last speaker after a lot of great speakers, and I find it perhaps a little ironic that security is the last topic, because often we find that security is bolted on at the end. But I was glad to see many of you that I attended sessions with mention security and its importance. So if there's one takeaway from my session, please design in security from the start as you look to the cloud. The second challenge was escapes me. For the third challenge was, I'm standing between you and lunch. No, that was the second challenge. I'm standing between you and lunch and the final panel. And the third challenge is, I've been asked to keep it to 20 minutes, and we're already running late, so I need to compress a little more. And my mom will tell you, I never do things on time. So let's get started. And maybe with a little bit of interaction. So we all drive cars. Here's a question for the group. Why were brakes put on cars? Was it A, to slow the car? Who believes it's A? Who believes it's B, to help the car drive faster? So, and then there's about 90% of you who don't have an opinion on this. So hopefully you understand where the brake pedal is. And this is a common analogy when it's used for security. In essence, what a brake does is slow a car. Why it was put on the car was to allow cars to go faster. And as we've gotten more and more powerful cars, our brake systems have gotten more and more complicated and more efficient at slowing the car, but to allow us to drive faster. Now, this is what the hope is for cloud security as well. So this is a common analogy in the security world. You know, why do you need cloud security? Well, it's really not to slow adoption, but it's to help speed adoption of the cloud. However, many organizations are finding security is actually slowing their adoption. And when you look at cloud computing and you think of the idea of being able to provision compute in minutes, but then having to wait weeks in order to properly deploy security policy, security controls, and properly secure it. If you look at the ability to scale well beyond your physical infrastructure, now you have an infinite amount of infrastructure that you can tie into. The actual limit becomes your security team. How do they keep up with the events? How do they process that? How do they integrate it with their audit and IR type functions and the forensics functions? And then thirdly, you know, you've got compute and cloud and virtualization sharing resources, but we're also seeing security consuming more and more of it. So that becomes a big challenge. And I think there's actually a fourth, and that is really clarity around responsibility for security. As you look across vendors, as you use multiple vendors, you go out to a public cloud, where is the responsibility for security? How is it shared? Amazon does a great job of talking about the shared responsibility model. You know, security analysts like Forrester will talk about the, I think they call it the asymmetric security handshake. And it's really about who owns what as it relates to a security perspective. And largely the problem has been around trying to fit a square peg that fit very well in a square hole in the physical world into a round hole, which is now virtualization and cloud computing. It changes things. So just like we wouldn't use these sorts of brakes in the clouds, we would look to other ways of slowing things down in order to allow us to go faster. So one of the challenges I was given when I was asked to speak on this topic was to look into the future and say, what are some of the, and I was given five. I was allowed to do five. What are five things you should look to from a security perspective as you go into cloud? So I broke it down into these five. I talked to many people on our team, and we sort of broke it down this way. First thing we wanted to talk about, and this is in no particular order, so this isn't highest to lowest. These are all considerations that we think are important. It's about comprehensive protection with a single, although I think single's a bit of a challenge, fewer points of control close to your assets. And it's very important here And just like the analogy in the little picture is, if you don't know the size of the thing you're trying to fit into, you will get an ill-fitting piece of clothing or security, right? So understanding the context, so in the analogy, the size of the person, or the size of the compute, or the applications running on it, allows you to tailor the security that best fits that solution and uses the appropriate amount of resources in order to do it. Similarly, it's about multiple control types. Security's been around for a lot. Speakers prior have talked about security in their environments. We're partners with many of them. But there's many, many different control types, right? And it's about giving yourselves the ability to pick the control that best mitigates the risk that, or the threat that you're trying to deal with in that environment. And then lastly, one of the unique things about the cloud, well, and virtualization too, is this concept of mobility. Where does this instance reside? Where is this compute being driven? And how do you have policy and controls follow your compute as it moves around the cloud? Okay, that would be very, very important. It's also not a one or nothing type world. We will all be dealing with physical systems, our own internal data centers that have embraced virtualization, and our private clouds and public clouds. So it is a very heterogeneous environment. But just like the analogy with a single conductor and a single set of music, you can deal with an orchestra in Sydney, London, or New York and get a predictable outcome, okay? A quality outcome. And this is very important in the security world. So imagine a host-based control like firewalling, and you have a physical, virtual, and cloud environment. Say you've got Solaris, you've got Windows, you've got Linux in your physical environment. You now have VMware, you've got Hyper-V in your virtualization layer, and then you go out to Amazon or Azure in the public cloud. You're now talking about half dozen at least types of way of expressing security policy, like firewalling as an example, but there's many others. So you have multiple people who are experts in doing that. So you have multiple conductors, multiple sheets of music, and multiple orchestras that you're dealing with. It's hugely complex, and you will not get the quality outcome that you need in order to run a properly secure organization. So you should think about that. So again, fewer management points, fewer expressions of security policy or rules, and then consistent control types across multiple environments. This one is all about agility. And I started the conversation with saying probably the biggest challenge we're seeing when we deal with our customers and helping them go to the cloud is they are very attracted to the ability to stand up compute in minutes, right? But if you need a security admin through a UI to deploy controls, deploy security policy, you cannot stand up instances in the cloud that fast. It will take weeks. Security will become the bottleneck. So if you can imagine, and a perfect example is just a couple weeks ago, we had a customer, or hopefully a customer, soon to be a customer. They were doing a POC. They decided to ramp up from 0 to 1,000 instances in the Amazon cloud, bring it all down, and so some of those instances would last only minutes, others hours and days, so they did it over the course of a weekend. They threw a full simulated production load against it. They threw attacks against it, and we had to show to the auditor that we could prove that once an instance was created, it had the security controls deployed, it had the policy deployed, we could prove it, and that every attack, or that we could detect the attacks that were launched against it. This is the sort of environment. It is not about a human security team deploying policy anymore. It's got to be automated. So you have to look for security systems that allow you to automate deployment from a control perspective, but also from a policy perspective, ramp it up and down, and this is all through APIs and scripting and those sorts of capabilities that are now widely available when you deploy things to the cloud. So very, very important. This one is the classic field of dreams. If you build it, will they come? So, and when will they come? How many of them will come? And if you don't and the real challenge there is predicting, right? How many, how much compute, how much do you need, right? And that was the real challenge. And it gets to the whole fixed versus variable or CapEx versus OpEx discussion in the cloud. The great thing about the cloud is you don't have to predict anymore. You can ramp things up according to actual demand, right? And that's been a huge savings. You should expect that from your security controls too, right? Which security controls are deployed? How long are they deployed? You should only pay for what you use that's deployed. And you should have the choice of paying in advance or in arrears. Because right now, if you buy a full system for your maximum predicted use, you are essentially wasting resources, right? You're deploying capital or you're deploying human resources in advance of the need. So look for security software, look for security companies that will match this sort of cloud environment, this utility type nature of the cloud, and support that. Because you'll save resources, both capital resources and human resources. And this is an interesting change that we've also seen. So we've, certainly as a security company, we've dealt for many time, I have many partners that are in the managed security service provision type world, right? But what we're seeing, and I think this is common throughout cloud computing, is IT organizations, or in this case, the security organizations with or security groups within an organization, they want to act like a managed security service provider, right? So they, organizations, are starting to ask us for functions that are really the sorts of requests we would have got from managed service providers in the past. And that's because they want to very much have a multi-tenant environment where security policy can be viewed by their internal stakeholders. So, you know, say you're a bank, you know, mergers and acquisitions has different security requirements and different assets of different classification than the commercial bank, than the retail bank, those sorts of things. They also want to be able to justify why they exist, right? So they want to provide metered usage back to their different stakeholders to be able to say how much we've protected you. In some cases, they want to charge back. In other cases, it's more about showback, what we call showback. So justifying why the security team is important. What have we stopped? What have we protected? How many hours of protection have we provided for you? A health exchange, actually, that I was talking to just the other day in Chicago. You know, concern here and their desire here was to stand up a different security tenant so that the organizations they deal with in the exchange can all be able to audit the security events that are seen against their assets and not have access to anyone else's. So things like multi-tenancy, things like policy based on data classification, geography, sensitivity of the asset. These are all things that we're now seeing as being needed within the security tools that you use and deploy within an organization, and not just for managed security service providers. And with that, hopefully I was actually briefer than I've ever been. I wanted to say that if you want to move quickly into the cloud, if you want to benefit from the agility and speed of the cloud, check your brakes. Make sure you're using the brake system that's appropriate for cloud adoption. And I'd be happy to talk to any of you after about how Trend Micro helps provide some of those capabilities. Oh, yes.
So Blake's going to stay for some Q&A. And joining, I'd like Chris to come up. And Michael from Dell, welcome. And also Vic. And Drew. So if the folks we haven't heard from today, let's start with them. Doesn't matter. Where are we here? Okay, so let's start with some folks we haven't heard from. Michael, welcome.
Thank you.
Start with you and just briefly talk about your organization, how it fits into our final topic here, which are the kind of last words of advice for folks that are looking to evaluate, deploy, and get into the cloud.
Well, as you look at some of the major cloud infrastructure out there, Dell's had a part in actually building a lot of that cloud infrastructure. It's our equipment out there in those Dell cloud providers. And Dell, from a consumer perspective and from an enterprise perspective, very much is into enabling customers and helping customers build both private clouds, get onto public clouds, and then be able to manage that in a hybrid environment. So it's really a focus of Dell. And how do we enable our customers onto the cloud, onto that path of the cloud? And with that,
how do we enable open standards? How do we ensure that